and welcome to LX2, Codependency Coaching. Forgot who I was for a second. And I was just sharing with people on Instagram, I am dog sitting, and so my schedule was off this morning. And then I was, you know when you're like super early and you still end up running late? That would be something I do. So today, actually, that's an interesting segue. I want to talk about this concept of self-sabotage. And we use it in, you know, the therapeutic sense or psychological sense where we get in our own way. And generally it happens when things are going well or when we are, you know, again, in that process of integrating new skills or learning new things. And sometimes when we are in that process, we, you know, kind of intentionally, unintentionally sabotage our own growth and process. And so I started thinking about the idea of self-sabotage as a form of self-harm. And before everybody gets all, blah, self-harm, I don't mean something like cutting or, you know, in the TikTok I mentioned, or your dating history can look like self-harm. That would be part of my dating history. but really recognizing that when we get in our own way, a lot of times it's coming from a place of challenging our growth and it's testing ourselves. And it comes from a place of feeling worthy. It comes from that place of, I don't know that I deserve good things. And, you know, that's kind of a default setting. It's one of those core beliefs that people challenge often. And one of the ways is looking at our self-talk and looking at how we are perceiving our worth and value. And if we do not believe that we are worthy of good things or progressing or, you know, moving past our station or leaving a challenging situation, we will get in our own way. And we don't always recognize that we're doing it. It's not always a conscious thought. It's just like, so I was thinking about this idea, like often when people grow up in chaos or trauma or whatever, and things get calm or feel really good, then we're like, ah, I need to stir some shit up. And so we'll either create the drama or, you know, pick at something that's probably healed over. And that is a form of self-sabotage, but it is in fact, we're harming our own growth. We are challenging our own ability to move past whatever situation or circumstance that we are dealing with. And oftentimes when we are uncomfortable because things are happening, chaos or you know, change or whatever, we're less likely to do that. It's when things are good or getting good, or we are, you know, taking those steps. I think often of like college, and I've shared with you guys, like, yes, I finished college twice, but it took me a very long time. And a lot of that had to do with my own fucking choices. I got in my own way, right? And it wasn't also the time, although I did learn lessons every time I failed. And so I talk often about failure because it is our best teacher. And, you know, when we're teaching little kids and we are integrating that perfection mindset, what we are not leaving space for is failure, is challenging ourselves to like work past those difficult things. I was having a really great conversation. My brother's in town with my brother last night. And, you know, I shared with you guys before, like my daughter and I, and certainly my friends have a shorthand of therapy language. And, you know, my brother is learning and stepping into his own self-discovery and, you know, self-awareness and all those things. And it was really awesome to talk with him. And as I don't know if I've shared with you, oldest of six, my brother is the baby and I am the oldest. He calls me Rough Draft and I call him Old Eggs because my mom was 40 when she had him. But we are bookends to these, you know, group of siblings. And in a lot of ways, we've had very similar experiences, having been, you know, the first and then certainly the last. But we get along really well. And there's 16 years between us. But we were having this conversation about our awareness, both our own awareness of ourselves and then our awareness of our, you know, our similar development and, you know, the parents that we had. But it was really nice to have that, you know, your siblings have a very unique view of your history. And because we were so many years apart, we had very different experiences in a lot of ways. But, you know, again, we have similar default settings. We have similar ways of looking at the world because of that experience of growing up in the same house. And what I say often with, you know, with clients and just with people is the mom that I had, though biologically the same, is very different than the mom he had, because she had 16 years to learn and grow and change and develop new ways of parenting. And so his experience is different than my experience. And we reflected on that. I say that to recognize that, like, in a lot of ways, we have the same triggers, we have the same trauma, but it's a different perspective. And so when we think about when things are going well, especially if we're used to those challenges or those changes, things are going well, things are calm, everything's working out, you know, I'm getting money on a regular basis, my kids are okay, my health is good, my relationship is fine, I will get in my own way. I'll be like, this feels uncomfortable. And I've talked about the fact that sometimes we get anxiety when things are calm because we're not used to that. Our nervous system is just waiting for the next shit to pop off. And so if it doesn't come, we may seek it out. I may do something unhelpful just to create that feeling because that's the feeling I'm used to. And so when we think about self-sabotage in the way of self-harm, I am harming myself, I am hurting my growth, I am putting myself in a position that I don't need to be in. And when I'm starting to recognize, oh, I sabotage myself, right? A lot of times in addiction counseling, you know, clients will be sober or clean for a certain amount of time, and then they'll experience a trigger. And so they want to go back to an old coping skill, right? They want to use that default setting. And they may not be able to, you know, kind of recognize it at the time. When we take a step back and stop doing things, old coping skills or unhelpful behavior, it feels uncomfortable because I'm so used to having that one thing, right? I used to smoke cigarettes for a long time, and I'm a weird smoker. I would only smoke one or two cigarettes a day. And so usually I would do it on my way to work and on my way home. So much less so that, like, clients didn't know I was a smoker, which I find really interesting. But it was such a habit that, you know, once I got in the car, turned on the music, started going down the similar road I would always go down, I would light up a cigarette. And when I stopped doing it, and again, weird smoker, so I didn't have a lot of the same triggers, but every time I got in the car, I'd want to light up a cigarette. And it took me a long time to, like, get out of that habit. But you know, I'd be doing really well for a long time, you know, weeks at a time without having a cigarette. And then something would happen. And I would also smoke when I, you know, would hang out with friends or go out to bars, or when I was stressed out. And so there's that trigger, right? I'm stressed, something's happening. And, like, my first inclination is like, I want to go have a cigarette. And then I sabotage all my progress, right? I quit smoking to travel more because you can't smoke in hotel rooms and to go camping. I did start vaping, but we'll talk about that later. But I recognized that, like, if I was triggered in that way of something stressful or, you know, going out to a bar and you know, having a drink or whatever, I had to consciously not do it and had to remember why I quit. And so we can make a lot of excuses and rationalize, well, I'm not traveling right now, or I'm not in a hotel room right now, or I'm not in a forest where there's no forest fire. There's the fire ban. But it was important for me to recognize, like, this was a conscious choice, Stella. Like, you're doing really well. And so encouraging myself to take a pause and think about it before jumping right back into something that would sabotage my growth and my progress, right? So that was one of those things where I had to engage my brain in a different way and remember why I was doing the things. When we start the process of therapy or, you know, exercise or eating better or, you know, changing the way that we talk to ourselves, we will often be triggered to that default setting. And then we get in our own way, right? Well, then we'll go right back to doing things. That's why quitting things is really hard. I think I've shared with you that it takes 60 to 90 days to break a habit and 30 to, like, start something new. And every time you have, you know, that moment of sabotaging yourself, you got to restart the counter. The 30 days to quit a habit and 60 to 90 days, I don't know. Look it up. look it up. But it is interesting when we think about integrating new coping skills or new information, and even just integrating this thought of, I want something different, right? Either this is fine and it could be better, or this is shit and it could be better. That it could be better is that place where, you know, there's some space between what I'm doing currently and what I would like to do. And we may have to restart several times. There is nothing wrong with that. And when you recognize, once I start to get the momentum of doing things differently and feeling good, I can fall off that wagon, and that is the sabotage. That is where I'm hurting my growth or my progress. And oftentimes, you know, that's why starting something new is really challenging. You know, going back to college, like going back to graduate school, I started the semester and then everything fell apart and I could have stayed not going. I could have just been like, fuck it, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. I had to get back up and go back the next semester and, you know, humble up and be like, okay, that sucked. And I'm going to try again. The same is true with, you know, undergraduate. I started right after high school, had a really hard time between, you know, the summer of graduating and when I started my freshman year, really hard time, mental hospital hard time. And I, you know, ended up going, and I got there, I went to Regis University in Denver. I was doing really poorly. I can't even say I was doing well. I was doing a shit job. And I was asked not to return. I was put on academic probation my freshman fall semester. And then by spring semester, they were like, please don't come back. Like, we like your money, but don't come back here. And I could have stopped. I could have said, okay, fuck it, I'm not going to do that. And then I got pregnant, and it wasn't conscious, right? I do recognize that, like, my freshman year, both fall and spring semester, I sabotaged the shit out of that. I consciously chose to fuck it all up. And part of it was, like, I was not ready, and it was not my time. But, of course, then I beat myself up because I wasn't doing a good job. And so that's the part where, when we want to do things, we want to change, we want to integrate new tools, we are going to fuck it up. We are going to fail. And that's why I say failure is our best teacher. It is our opportunity to recognize, I still need work on this. I am going to suck at this right now. And if I get back up and try again, recognizing, yes, sometimes I will consciously choose to fuck it up. Sometimes I will light a bomb and just blow it all to smithereens. And then if I still want that thing on the other side of that mountain, I'm going to have to get up and climb it. I'm going to have to get up and work on those skills every day. I'm going to have to get up and, with grace and kindness to myself, start over. And I may have to start a million times. And then once I get to the top of that mountain, I'm like, oh shit, I did it. And I only got in my way like 87 times, right? And so I was talking to somebody the other day, because these are things I do, and, you know, really looking at the arc and growth of their progress. When we are in the middle of a thing, we don't actually recognize how things worked out and why they worked out the way they did until we're at the end of it. And, you know, I talk about the mountain climbing often, because when we are climbing these really challenging, difficult, changing tasks, it is arduous. It is difficult. And, you know, getting up every morning and consciously choosing that is not easy. And when you can recognize, oh, here's where I'm going to hurt myself and this is a bad idea, then you can choose to move, you know, sidestep that sabotage, that booby trap, that, you know, that challenge that is going to be triggering to your old coping skills to sabotage your growth. You can sidestep and go, oh, I did this last time. I remember where that is, and then do it differently, right? But it's not until we have that awareness that this is what I'm doing, or we're talking to someone else and go, oh shit, I didn't realize I was doing that. You know, I was talking to my accountability buddy, because that's what I do. And, you know, we have been working on integrating new language, especially with things that are challenging in our growth currently. And, you know, instead of being really negative and talking about, God, I suck at this, and this is awful, and, you know, I'm never going to get past that, whatever that core belief is, really challenging ourselves to say, I am still growing. I am working on this. I am good at learning new things. I have gotten really far by learning new things, right? And so we hold each other accountable in order to continue to persevere, in order to continue to move forward and be the best version of ourselves. I talk about versions all the time. I think my brother was like, "What are you talking about? Like, new version, new you." And I was like, "You don't know this me yet. I mean, we don't see each other very often. He lives, you know, in another state. And every time we spend time together, even for me, like, I have to recognize that the human sitting across from me, though he is my brother and I've known him his whole life, I still have to allow myself and allow him to introduce me to the person that he is with the new experiences that he's had and the new insights and the new awarenesses, and really just meet the person who he is at this moment. And I will sabotage that if I bring up an older version of him. If I pigeonhole him into, you know, his 12-year-old self or his 14-year-old self when he lived with me, you know, going to high school. And his 14-year-old self was great. He was funny and ridiculous and, you know, he was 14. But today, his 35-year-old self sitting in front of me, this grown man with this big job, and he's a dad, and he's so wonderful. But if I were to go back to his 14-year-old self, which he has told me, that's not who I am anymore, dude, which is really helpful, and it reminds me, I could create some challenge in being able to trust and talk to me and be vulnerable, because I only see that old version of him, right? And so really recognizing for myself, like, I can and have and do at times, you know, revert back to a default setting or create some chaos or drama. And it does sabotage my growth. It is a harm to the person that I am trying to be, my sweet baby angel, vulnerable self with the dignity and self-respect. I can limit my growth when I get in my own way, when I get too excited and go rushing headlong into, like, oh, cool, I know how to do this. No, I don't. Sometimes I still need training wheels. And I recognize that I will fall and I will scrape my knee. I will damage or hurt someone who loves me or trusts me or wants to be vulnerable and open if I am going back to a default setting, if I'm getting in my own way. And self-sabotage is something that happens. Again, we don't consciously think about it, but I think about sobriety often because I'm not doing it and I don't want to. But I think about, you know, trying to integrate new tools, trying to learn how to do things differently, trying to communicate to myself in a more helpful way, and I will get in my own way in doing that. We all do it. And so, you know, again, having an accountability buddy or a really good friend or someone to say, or a therapist, to say, like, I'm struggling with this thing. And so, you know, remind me what your goal is. How do we get there? And if you're still doing that thing that's unhelpful to you, your growth and progress, how do you stop doing that? First, you got to be aware that you are doing it. And then you've got to recognize, why am I doing it? What is being triggered? What is calling me to do those unhelpful things? How do I fix that part, right? So long journey, lots of different opportunities to kind of recognize and reflect on what is motivating this old behavior. And, you know, I often talk about those internal versions of ourselves. You know, my teenage self right now is super triggered sometimes and really going, okay, babe, what do we need? Because what we don't need is more chaos. What we don't need is to light a bomb or send that unhelpful text or say something cutty. Like, what I need is maybe some time to sit by myself and think about, what are my goals? What's being triggered? How am I feeling about this growth and progress? I have gotten to the end, right at the very edge of things, and then I'll fuck it up, right? I think about often, especially, you know, my early, let's say, late teens, early 20s, where, you know, drinking was kind of a big thing. And, you know, we think about, like, I have a final tomorrow. Is partying the best idea or getting a good night's sleep and studying? Which is better? And if I am that close, I have been known to, you know, go on a bender. We used to go to ladies' night on Thursdays at, where did we go? It was a started weekends. It was a bar in Southern Colorado where I went to school and finished my degree. But it was, they had happy hour for the ladies on Thursday, often had finals on Friday. So we would go, we would drink. I lived a good 45 minutes away. And yeah, I would wake up hungover as shit, if not still drunk, and go to a test. Guess who didn't pass that test? That would be me, right? But not feeling worthy and deserving of preparing and really getting to that place where I could be successful, I was getting in my own way. I was sabotaging my own growth. I was limiting my ability to be the best version of me. And we all do it to whatever degree, right? I think about, I watch like we all do, I stream things and I'll just stay up one more episode. That's so good. And then tomorrow I have a meeting and I'm going to be exhausted. That is getting in my own way, right? I want to be the best for my clients who come in at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so, in order for me to do that, I should probably get some rest, right? I know that, like, I'm going to get up and go for a run in the morning. So, if I stay up late or if I've had one more, cider or whatever, like that's not going to help me feel better and be my best. In fact, that self-sabotage and ways of getting off or derailed from our progress is by doing something unhelpful before we do it, right? And we don't recognize always that we're doing it. Sometimes we're just in that pattern of unhelpful behavior, and before you know it, I haven't worked out in 3 days. I haven't worked out in a week. I haven't worked out in a month. And sometimes I recognize, oh shit, I haven't worked out in a week. And I'm starting to feel it, right? I'm starting to feel sluggish. My clothes aren't fitting well, like whatever it is. I have sabotaged my own growth. I have hurt my own progress. A lot of times, again, we don't recognize what we're doing in the moment. It feels even ickier when we do recognize it. We're just like, that was not helpful. I should not have texted that person. I should not have responded to that I miss you text. I should not have reverted back to that old version, that old coping skill, that default setting, because now I got to start over, and that feels like gross, right? My daughter works in safety, and obviously she doesn't have a counter on the wall for last incidents or whatever, but I think about that often, that image in my head of how many incidents since our last, how many days since our last incident. And so when you can get to that, 30 or 60 days of not having an incident and everything feels good, you're in a good rhythm, things are happening, we will be triggered. We will be called to a past version of ourselves, and then we get to choose. We get to decide, am I going to do this using an old coping skill, or am I going to use that new skill that I've been practicing, right? I know I feel better when I do the things that are part of my growth, that are part of my process in being the best version of me. I can see future me down the road feeling good and doing those things that she wants to do. I have to keep on the process and on the path and not like blow it up or use an unhealthy coping skill or say something unhelpful. I might, and that's okay. But I have to recognize that I'm doing it. I have to recognize I am harming my growth and progress if I do that thing that I don't, that's not helpful anymore. It doesn't really fit with the me that I'm trying to be. And so it's challenging at times. Working on that language thing. I'm always working on that language thing because my default settings are hardwired into my being. And as I have gotten better, as I have continued to learn new skills and tools, as I have continued to go into those parts of myself and go, hey, babe, what do we need? As I continue to talk to myself as though I'm someone I like, and at this point, I'm someone I love. I am, in fact, the love of my life because I have to live in here every day. I have to be this human being doing things. And if I am not taking care of her, she's not going to be able to do all the things that I do. She and I are the same. And so once I know that, like I check in with me and go, we could use that old unhelpful coping skill. We can have that other cider. We can stay up later. We can send that text. Or we can use a new skill and try to do something that promotes our growth, that continues to build that future me that's doing great over there, right? And so it is a reminder on a regular basis to think, am I hurting myself? Am I hurting my growth? Am I keeping myself stuck? And is that what I want? And so when I get quiet and when I get really clear, then I will make the right choice. But when we are triggered, it is really difficult to get clear. It is really difficult to get quiet because then I go into panic, cerebellum, saber-tooth tiger, something bad is going to happen. And if it's quiet and peaceful and calm, I might just create a saber-tooth tiger. Poking the bear is, you know, a thing that we talk about all the time, accountability buddies, just people in general. Like, here's a sleeping bear. It is not doing anything to us. I am walking along in the forest and everything is calm. It's too calm. Maybe I'll just poke that bear and see what happens. What motherfucker's coming for you? So recognize who the bears are on your path, Goldilocks. Figure it out. And that's hard to do, right? Because we're like, I mean, I haven't had a trauma crisis, you know, chaos in a minute. Let me fuck it up. No. Or do and then suffer the consequences, but recognize that you're doing it. Recognize that if you haven't had drama in a while and you're like, maybe I'll just don't do it, you know, or at least pay attention to why do I feel like I need to do that? What is it about how I'm feeling about my worth and my value and who I am as a human? What's going on here, babe? Like, where's, what do you need? Right? When you start to pay attention to that, and I keep doing this, right? And I was listening to, because I do, Mel Robbins on, no, Dan Harris, 10% Happier. He wrote a great book on anxiety, 10% Happier. It's great. He also has a podcast called 10% Happier. He was talking to this research scientist on self-compassion and how the research really bears out that when we can really talk to ourselves, and so again, touching your chest, tenderly and talking to yourself like you're someone you like, that helps, right? And so when you feel like you're sabotaging or things aren't going the way they're supposed to, pay attention to how you're feeling. Pay attention to what is motivating that. Am I triggered? We don't always even recognize that we've been triggered. A lot of times we're just going around, you know, again, walking through the forest, everything's fine. There's a crash and you know, it happens to be the date of something, or this time of year sparks something, or I just realized that where I know that person from. And so I'm going to beat myself up. I'm going to talk shit to myself. I'm going to tell myself, you are not worthy. You are not deserving. You are whatever it is. And then I'm going to do an old coping skill and I'm going to get in my own way and I'm going to hurt. I'm going to harm my progress and my growth. Recognize when you're doing it. It's going to take practice. It's going to take effort. You're going to fail, and that's okay. Failure is our best teacher, and you can start to change the behavior. And if you have to go back to 0 days with no incidents, that's okay. Because once you recognize how you are doing it and why you are doing it and what you are feeling, you're less likely to make that choice again. It is a choice. It is not a mistake. Things happen, and when you can engage your brain and engage your heart, what am I feeling, and listen to your intuition, you're going to move forward easily or more easily to that goal, to that growth place, so that your new skills are then integrated and they become your default setting. It takes time. It takes effort. You're going to fuck it up, and you will start to feel better when you can align yourself and recognize, I deserve good things. I am valuable and worthy, and hey, buddy, we're doing a thing. So there is your nugget. Singapore and Thailand and Mexico is doing it again. Thank you so much. Yeah, we've got all kinds of listeners, again, kind of all over. You know, we moved from 10,000 to 11,000. We're at 11,700 downloads since the last time I gave you the counter. It's kind of awesome. I got the book cover submitted back to them. It looks great. We're getting closer. Things are happening. And I'm trying not to fuck it up. Just kidding. I'm good right now today. Anywhere you can get podcasts. I'm going to end the video. I'm going to end the podcast. If you want to get a hold of me, it's lx2.cod.coach@gmail.com. Hit me here on Instagram at LunaX2 LLC. Same on Facebook, TikTok, all the things. I will talk to you guys next week and we'll have a new environment. I don't know where I'm going to be. I do. I'll probably be in the office, but who knows? Anyway, there's your nugget. I will talk to you guys soon. Have a good day. All right, we have ended the video and I am going to end the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who's listening all over the country, all over the world. I am humbled on a regular basis to know that this little thing that I created in 2019 has now like kind of gotten really big. And so thank you to everyone who listens, who shares, who engages with me. I appreciate it and I will talk to you soon.